What's up, Hoodat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast. Alrighty, what's up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk, but I am drinking a vodka and blueberry crystal light. I don't know what you call it, but it is my special wedding cup. That's us getting married. I'm showing it on the live stream, and that's where we got married, on this island here. And that's my special New Orleans Saints black and gold wedding ring that I wear on Sundays and Mondays after they win. So the Teddy train has hit a brick wall in Jacksonville. And thankfully, the defense was there to bail him out. As Jason predicted in the beginning of the season, the Saints defense continues to carry the team to victory. We'll talk about the offensive struggles. They were offensive in the game recap. And we have your tweets. We have pick'ems. And we're also going to do, in addition to the Bears preview, obviously, but we're going to add something to the show this week, an LSU game recap, because we have Scott Greenbaum as our guest, and he prefers LSU to the Saints. And
I got a Saints tattoo. I don't have an LSU tattoo.
That's clever. Good comeback. All right. And a Pelican perch, not a plunge, because the Pelicans will not plunge this year, according to Jason. So
forever.
We have a lot of stuff to get talking about. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
The shoe?
Yeah, that's how they say it in Hawaii.
Okay, the shoe.
The shoe.
Yeah, the shoe. Not the shoe. No, I'm doing
not
all right.
Shoe.
Right. Yeah, just drinking a little wine again. My wine down Mondays to celebrate the victory. Taking it easy once again, but celebrating, because this will probably, hopefully, be the last time that I've got this in the backdrop, because I'm moving in this weekend.
Ah,
finally.
Room.
Yeah.
Oh man, and I'm busy this weekend, or else I would have come help.
I was gonna say, Renee Go said, "Yeah, you and Andrea should come down and see the house."
Yeah, how convenient you're inviting us on move-in day.
Hey, we're getting cold fronts now, so at least the weather's not 100 degrees.
This is true. All right, and also welcome to the show, Greenbaum. Y'all have heard us reference him. He comments every week, and he has been a guest on the show. Welcome back to the show. What's your number?
I'd say about out of one, drinking a little Michelob Ultra here. Wow. Kind of on daddy duty for a little while right now, so I can't get, too involved.
Daddy duty, so he's podcasting. Well, the kids are killing each other in the other
one. Yeah, they're in the other one. They're good. They're good. They're good.
If I hear crying, I'll do something. Or bleeding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or bleeding.
Okay. Rub some dirt on it.
Rubbing tussin on it.
Alvin Kamara played with an injured ankle and tweaked his knee, and he's fine. So
exactly.
Speaking of, let's talk about it in the game recap. You were texting yesterday about the offensive line, saying that they struggled a little bit with the run blocking.
With the run blocking a little bit. Pass protection, they were fine. We noticed it last week, didn't do that well. It didn't seem like there were a lot of rushing lanes for the Saints.
Right.
So it's just something to kind of look out for. I mean, they won the game. It's, you want to find things to kind of pick out. But, that's something that I think, they do need to work on. And it seems like they do need to improve going forward. Now, one thing,
but they did run for over 100 yards as a team.
They did. Average 4 yards a carry. I mean, barely. Got 104, barely. But
with more than the defense has ever let up.
Well, that's true. We have an all-time defense.
I think they kind of warmed down by the time they got to. They kept on running and running and running. So by the time they got to third, fourth quarter, I think Jacksonville was kind of worn down a little bit, helped a little bit. I definitely think Kamara was hurting either the ankle or the knee, whatever. You didn't see him as shifty as usual, breaking his tackles as usual. And it could, also be Jacksonville's a good tackling team. But he wasn't slipping them like he usually does. I mean, we've played good tackling teams before, and he's been able to, be Mr. Magic Man and slip tackles here and there. But he was more north-south, if you noticed, in the game.
I think that probably got to be his ankle.
Yeah.
It was, and he tweaked the knee.
Don't do anything crazy.
Yeah, he tweaked the knee during the game. It was ankle beforehand. But it seemed like Carolina defended him really well. Even when he got a pass, the defender was right on him.
For
pretty
sure
much
to
all
play
the time.
Jacksonville, but okay.
What did I say? Did I say something else?
What
did
you say?
Shit.
You said Carolina.
Oh, God damn it.
He's looking at footage.
I'm looking ahead. Looking ahead. Right. But the one positive in terms of the running game, they got Murray a little more involved. I thought Murray had a pretty solid game. And,
well, especially since we were asking about him just last week. We were like, what's the deal with Murray? And he shows up when we needed him to step up. Murray and Cook.
With Kamara being dinged, you're going to need Murray to get carries. And I think that's really all it was. It's just Murray hasn't gotten a lot of opportunities yet this year for whatever reason. I don't know why.
They're saving him for the playoffs.
Or saving him
for when Kamara gets hurt.
Yeah, right. That's it. Yeah. So I mean, whatever. You know, he only had 11 touches. Now, he did have a touchdown callback from a questionable holding penalty, but
that touchdown impressed me because you could see when he got through, when he got clear, he started pulling away from people. And I didn't expect him to do that. Like, he showed some speed that I didn't think he had. So I was pretty impressed with that particular run. That was on a screenplay, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he had good blocking.
You know, maybe
and the hold was that, you say questionable. It was holding. I mean, it was legit. I wasn't pissed off when I saw the replay on that one. I mean, I was pissed off at the Saints, not the ref.
But especially with Kamara's condition, Peyton said he dinged a knee, you know, tweaked it during the game. So they're going to need to give Murray a lot more touches and let Kamara get healthy because, I mean, if he ain't healthy, that's going to be a big blow to the offense. So whatever it takes, get him healthy.
All right. And if you are watching on the live stream, I see that we have viewers. Feel free to say hello and add any comments to any of the topics. We'll read up on them like we normally do. Here's a question for y'all. Teddy, so we talk about the offensive line. You say that the pass blocking was incredible. Scott's got his Taysom Hill sign ready to go, I'm sure.
Did I say incredible?
No,
I said it was good.
No.
Right. But all right. So the Teddy holding the ball too long. Is that indecisiveness or was it game plan? Because it seemed like he kept last week, the reason he was so great was it was almost like they were designed plays to be the quick, short, 2 yard outs, whatever, just hurry up and get the ball out. And was there something about Jalen not playing where the Saints were like, hey, we're gonna go for those medium to long throws, which takes a little longer for the play to develop, and Teddy not in his defense, in a sense, like he knew he was going to hold the ball longer, but in addition, he also held it longer than he should have held it because he was waiting for the open man. And then, of course, then you go and you look and you see that he's always got open people that he kept overlooking.
Yeah, I think against Tampa, well, I mean, if you remember, he threw the ball more downfield against Tampa than he did in the other previous game. Am I not, Jeff, you looking kind of confused?
It seemed like it. Yeah, it did seem like it.
I mean, he was yesterday, everything was – middle to
I'm talking about Tampa.
Yeah.
Like I mean he was throwing the ball further down the field than he has, and I think that was because Tampa's cornerbacks just aren't that good.
Garbage.
He had so it could be the fact that people weren't open, you know, against Jacksonville's defense. But I do think he holds on to the ball a little too long. And it could be too, you know, where Drew might have some avenues that he might be able to have the accuracy to fit some balls in where he feels more confident throwing into those holes where Teddy doesn't have the confidence to do it. I don't know.
Yeah. And he's not going to take the chance and throw a pick. Like, he really doesn't want to throw a pick.
No.
I think that's something you can see. He really does not want to make a mistake considering what kind of game it was. I mean, it was tough. Look, he didn't play really well yesterday at all. Missed a lot of throws. I mean, he should have had at least another touchdown or two.
He was throwing a lot of high balls yesterday.
Yeah.
The 2 weeks ago, he was doing the same thing. I mean.
Yeah. And that might be part of second guessing himself, like where he's kind of, should I throw it or not? And let me throw it high and see if somebody can come down with it instead of trying.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen is that DB's going to start playing behind that. And
yeah.
You know what's going to happen is Breeze's.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to make a joke.
Breed's going to come back.
Breed's going to come back, and he can throw him high all he wants in practice.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. The touchdown he threw to Cook, I mean, Cook's one of the tallest guys we've got. So, you know, that's 2 weeks in a row. Cook's got a touchdown. He's a big target.
I told y'all, Cook
kind of
is
a tall guy.
great. He's a great pickup. Y'all were all saying that you had to wait for Drew Brees to get back before we were going to benefit from Cook, and I told you, give him a chance. You know, let him. Yeah. if the history is correct, right, you don't check the tape.
I do want to clarify something as far as my point of view goes. I don't necessarily think – I am – okay. Everybody knows I'm a Taysom Hill fan. Now, do I think Taysom Hill should be starting at quarterback? Not necessarily. I like what he's doing right now.
The answer is no.
No, he shouldn't be starting at quarterback. But y'all were all hyped up saying, you know, Teddy, you know, I believe in Teddy. He's the next quarterback, blah, blah, blah. He's the heir to the throne, this and that. I don't think the heir to the throne's on the team right now, to be honest. And I know Sean Payton's like, he's on the team. I don't think he's on the team.
Well,
I don't
Sean
know who
has
it
to
is.
Say that.
Right. I mean, he's got to. I don't know who it is. Could be a free agent pickup that we get.
Joe Burrow?
Draft. Could be a draft pick.
He could be playing for LSU right now. I think Teddy could still be the guy that they go with.
They might be forced to. But when Brees got hurt, everybody, including y'all, said, well, let's try to at least get to 500. Let's go 3-3 while Drew's out.
Mission accomplished.
So, right.
Been better.
But is that what you want? Let's say Drew doesn't play next year. Let's say he retires. Are you on a 500 team next year?
That's different. That's apples and green apples and red apples.
But also, they're not 500. I mean, they're 4-0 with Teddy.
Right, but what he's – expectation. Right. I get what he's asking.
Right, well, right, sure.
They're like, if we go
500,
we'll be okay.
In the situation, because similarly, like my kids asked me, they're like, how did we lose to the Rams when everybody else is beating them and look at how well we're playing? And I said, it was shock. We lost to the Rams because of emotion and because of shock and because that wasn't what we prepared for all week. If we would have had Drew Brees in that entire game, we probably could have walked out of there with a win. It might have been close, or might have, you know, I don't know, because of the emotional part of it. But the 500 expectation was more for the fact that shock and we, from what we've seen of Teddy at that point, 500 was as good as you might could expect.
Well, because
now that you've seen progression in Teddy's game each week until yesterday. He took a step backwards, but each week up until those first 3 weeks, he got better and better and better. Yesterday,
better
I don't know
the
what
defense
happened.
Is worse.
Both? But he didn't fuck up. But
no, he didn't cost the game.
Look, we got the win.
Yesterday was weird because, yeah, it was a bad game by Teddy. He played
and
bad.
I, you know.
And he didn't even look
he
like
did.
Every time they showed a sideline shot of him, he didn't look as engaged and into it. I mean, he was just kind of mopey and pouty. Maybe he was hungover.
Now,
I mean, do we have another Tom Collins on our hands?
In general, they did play better in the second half. You know, it wasn't quite as bad. It was just the case of a couple of three or four just poor throws.
I mean, the defense definitely kept us in the game.
And Jacksonville's not a pushover team either.
No, but I mean, their offense isn't the greatest. You know, and they're
Minshew threw 370 against Carolina last week.
It's not their offense. We're talking about Teddy and our offensive struggles.
Right.
Our defense.
Right. Jacksonville's even with
awesome against the Jacksonville offense. They held them to 6 points.
Yeah.
Jacksonville's defense is solid even without Ramsey. Jacksonville has a good defense.
Yeah, they are. They are. But like looking forward, and we'll get into preview. The Bears' defense, I would say, is better than Jacksonville's.
The good news is their offense is not.
Their offense is definitely not.
Which, yeah, we'll get to it in preview because, yeah, I expect the same offense, the same result from the Saints' offense next week. But, okay, so other points in the game. Lattimore held Chark to a total of 2 for 6 and 21 yards. So the shutdown play by Lattimore and Eli Apple continues, which is also part of the way that we held him out of the end zone. Also holding Leonard Fournette to 77 yards.
72, but keeping the streak going. You know, because Fournette was third in the league in rushing, 500-something yards coming in this week, and held him 20 carries, 72 yards.
I think the big test will be McCaffrey. I mean, looking at the schedule, you know, as far as the 100-yard stuff goes.
But they did it twice. They did it twice last year.
Yeah, they did. So the Saints held the 200. They had the defense hold them to 226 total yards. That's the third straight game they've held a team an opponent to under 260 yards, which is the first time they've had three or more games since the Dome Patrol era that they've held teams under 260 yards.
Pretty fucking impressive with this defense.
Which is good.
Now, everybody keeps saying top five defense. Now, I looked at the numbers today, and across the board and all of your defensive team stats, we're actually in anywhere between like the 13, 14, 16, 15, you know, that. We're a middling statistically.
Because of game one where we sucked. You know, okay. It's like for us, you got to throw out game one. But there's
still 14 teams ahead of us.
But who have they? I don't know the teams ahead of us. But who have they?
The Bears.
Right, but again, the Patriots have played high school teams.
Anybody.
Right,
yeah,
they played high school teams.
And the Bears too. I get it. The Bears only have five games. We have six.
I mean, the Saints have played probably the toughest schedule so far.
But this is another thing, which I'll save it for preview. But the Bears haven't played anybody either. So their elite defense has not played a legitimate offense yet. Just gonna throw that out there. But yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I don't want to diminish our defensive performance, but we keep talking top four, top five. I think we're overvaluing.
No, I don't think so. I know what my eyes see and tell me.
I get it, but statistically, because what I really wanted to come in with is showing like our defense versus the 85 Bears and trying to show some parallels. And I'm like, we're not even the top league right now, much less the history of the Saints.
I know what my eyes tell me when I see and when I watch the games. So,
yeah. All right. Sorry. I had to move my fan.
But that's another game that the defense won for us.
Only have one fan. She's sitting over there.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Now, this is why the defense will never be number one this year. Oh, wait. That's LSU. Sorry. I was looking at the wrong game notes. Okay, here's another thing. Armstead, who had week six in the pool?
You? I think you.
I think Scott did. Yes. What the heck? I'm trying to like be more kid-friendly with our podcast. But
why? Fuck the kids.
Jason wants to fuck kids? What?
That's what I heard.
Hide your kids. Hide your family.
Yeah, that's the thing. What? Is Armstead hurt? I didn't follow up on.
He came back in the game. He came back in the game. Yeah, he came back.
I knew that. Okay, but you know, that's the step one. Next week he'll be out for a good 6 weeks. All right, defense. All right, hard game.
Thomas Morstead, another fantastic game. Five punts down inside the 15, I think. Continues to.
Deontay Harris
didn't drop anything.
We had good Deontay yesterday. Not bad Deontay.
Good Deontay.
But it's just great. Like Morstead continues to be a weapon for this team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just, oh, shit, we got to punt it, let's go. Like an actual weapon, pin him, you know, control the game.
Agree. And then Davis, DeMario Davis' hit on Swain there that knocked him out.
I mean, he didn't do it on purpose. You know, Swain kind of lowered himself. And you know,
and he led with his shoulder.
Yeah, you could see Davis' reaction.
Instantly, yeah, class act. Which is why I don't think they should have booed him.
Fans are always going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think, honestly, he's not 100% guilty there. Swain turned and put his head down into DeMario Davis, so they actually kind of hit each other at the same time. Is that your fan?
Yes.
Should tell you, hey!
You're live on Facebook, by the way.
Oh, okay. Let me sneak out.
All right.
Good sneaking job. You really stuck out there.
It's okay. Renee pops in on Jason's every now and then, too.
All right.
When she's bringing him food. Did she bring you food, Scott?
Nothing.
She did not bring food. She's fired. All right. Any last?
She's not under the camera view now, right?
Yeah, right?
See what I did there?
Yeah. All right. Any last comments on the game before we move on to the other game?
Saints have won 18 straight regular season games when having a lead in the fourth quarter.
Oh, 18.
I also want to say the Saints have been an incredibly good October team the last 4 or 5 years.
I saw that stat. They've covered the spread.
They've covered the spread since October 2015, I think.
I don't think they covered the spread next week.
And we're a blessed team because the Pope tweeted us.
That's right.
But – I mean, look, this is another different way that the Saints won a game. It wasn't pretty, but they went on the road and won a fucking game.
And that is another thing to take into consideration when you talk about the offensive struggles. It was a road game. I wouldn't call it a hostile environment. It sounded like there were more Saints fans there than
You could hear them on TV yelling "Hudad" and then yelling "Teddy, Teddy." You could hear them.
And also, too, people complaining about not having the offense. Like, yeah, that's great. Do you remember how many games we would score 30-something points and lose? Like, those were miserable. With the shit defenses we put out there, that was miserable
Our defense did what they had to do to win that game. That's why you put this win on the defense. They couldn't let up a touchdown, and they didn't.
Let me ask two questions. One, do you think the defense – it seems like when Drew went out, the defense has stepped up. Now, I know they get progressively better as the season go on. Do they keep that foot on the pedal? Do they throttle back some when Drew comes back because they feel they don't need to?
I thought about that too, kind of like, you know, y'all had this in you all along. What the fuck, you know? you could have done this all last year, yeah, I guess, but no, maybe it's this year's defense. And yes, the crisis necessity brings the best out in you. And yeah, I do think when Drew Brees comes back, they're going to need to rest a little bit. I mean, can you play with that level for all 16, 17, 18, 19 games? I mean, I hope you could. But I think when he comes back, maybe not the Falcons game, because that's going to bring up an intensity level, but the week after the Falcons, I think, is a trap game for that defense. And the offense is going to need to put up 30 or 40 to win.
We'll keep winning, and then we'll get the first seed in the bye, so then we can rest players.
Yeah. There you go. You get another bye week. So y'all have the defense has 2 weeks to rest this year.
Yeah. White pants? Yes? No? Y'all like them?
I liked them.
I don't like the side view, but I like that they had a shot, like a action shot of Kamara cutting or whatever from the front, like looking at him, and it looks awesome, that front view. But the side view, it kind of looked like pajamas or leotards, you know.
I do
likes the front view of guys.
Yeah, yes.
At least I'm better.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, you must have a favorite kind of prey.
Allegedly, that's ignorant.
I do wish they could have gone with like a black helmet with a gold Florida Lee, because I think that'll look pretty nice.
What about a white helmet with a black Florida Lee? I mean, it's white shirt, white pants. You got to cap that off with a white.
You got to break it up a little bit. You got to break it up.
Hey, no, they were wearing white because of the Pope. The Pope is all white, you know. They thought the Pope was coming.
Oh, mama. Just to think, the Pope is coming to eat here.
I'm so proud. The restaurant looks so nice. And everybody put on their best white suits. So nice.
He'll be here soon. So, let's get a quick bite to eat, eh?
Here's the sauce.
I saw today Bears are opening as a 3.5-point favorite next week.
Yeah.
Don't save it for preview. Let's talk about the LSU game. We're going to talk about this a little bit for all of you who are watching and maybe for you who are listening, because LSU's offense is perhaps the best in the history of the school. If not, or let me make the easier statement that Joe Burrow is the best quarterback that LSU has ever had.
Definitely. He has over 2,000 yards.
The best quarterback. No, the best coach. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, he's had over 2,000 yards so far, 25 touchdowns. I think he has almost an 80% completion percentage.
I mean, that's the thing. They're doing all this. They scored 40 points against
I wish Teddy Bridgewater had his accuracy.
Against Florida's defense, which was top 10, 15, they scored 42 points and only 48 plays.
Yeah,
I mean, that, I had that written down. You know, like, that's the thing. Like, they're doing all this. They're just so fucking efficient. They're averaging over 10. They average over 10 yards a play.
Against Florida. Against Florida.
Right.
Who's
right.
Right.
Great defense. And he had – Joe Burrow had as many touchdowns as he threw incompletions against Florida.
For every incompletion,
I feel
like he's with a touchdown.
I feel like he's done that three times this year.
I mean, it's insane. Like, it's not and there was the whole thing, I guess the national media didn't give him the respect until now, which is fine. Okay. They're ranked number
two. Some still don't, but whatever.
Well, whatever, but they didn't because they were playing powder puff teams or whatever.
I mean we did beat right.
And they were doing there and look at the Saint or look at LSU now, they go up against Florida and they light it up like Florida is a powder puff team, like a Utah State. Now, granted, this Florida's right. offense came and just rolled over us too, but
hey, they
that
didn't,
whole I mean, game, LSU had that edge. Hey. You always had that feel that all it's going to take is for Florida to mess up one drive, because LSU wasn't going to mess up one drive. And they
I
did.
Think in the second half, they gave up 7 points or 6 points, one of the two.
I mean, they did go on like a 21-point run or a
– Yeah, I mean, that's kind of Aranda's M.O., first half, they kind of go in with a game plan, and he is a genius at making adjustments at half. If you look at their games,
you did text that, yeah.
If you look at their games, second half, they are like the Saints are the whole game. You know, they're like the Saints the first half.
I maintain that Sean Payton is the best halftime adjusting coach as well, that he makes adjustments at halftime.
Maybe offensively, but defensively, Aranda is.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just off the charts. They four third downs the whole game. They only had third down four times during the whole game. The offense.
Yeah, it's wild. It's
wow. And then Florida comes out with the excuse that the reason they lost was because of the injuries or singular injury on their secondary. And I'm sorry, you're supposed to be this great big number 7 ranked team, and you're telling me that your entire program falls apart because one guy gets hurt? LSU's been playing with 4 injured players on their defensive squad and is still rolling over teams. Like, yeah. Don't give me the injury excuse. You lost. Yeah. You got your hats handed to you in Death Valley because you were outmatched, you were outcoached, and you were outwitted. And you were outplayed, and you were out-survived.
Well, we were just
– Survivor, okay. Wednesday night.
RJ Pro. I mean, LSU was just better. Like, Dan Mullen always coaches well against LSU. Florida does have a lot of talent. It's
you
just
going to wash dishes?
No, I'm moving around. I was checking the dogs when they left, so I got a house to watch over, making sure they're not chewing anything they shouldn't.
Scott's not even watching his kids.
My wife is home, in my defense, as you saw.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, but anyway, like Dan Mullen does a good job coaching here. I just think LSU had too much talent. LSU's offensive line played phenomenal.
Yes. Saturday night. That's been their weakness. Line. That's been their weakness the past few years. You know, they played decently, and then when they get against Alabama, it's like they shit the bed. And they, you know, we didn't score any points against Alabama last year. And that was one of the main emphasis Coach O wanted to do this year, was to build up that offensive line, get recruits that can stand up, you know, against the Bamas and the Floridas. So
how is it that, like, I mean, like, almost like it's impossible to have complementary football where the defense has been the identity of this team forever and ever and ever. The offense was just ground and pound and just ride games out. Now, all of a sudden, you get that offense, and the very same year that the offense flips, the defense turns to shit. The defensive line is atrocious.
I wouldn't say it turned to shit, but what changed?
You know,
I don't know.
At LSU, to where the defensive line went from great to shit, I can't put my finger on it. Anybody want to take a guess?
I'll tell you who, Bill O'Brien!
Did someone say Bill Brasky?
Do you put this guy as a coach when you've seen what he did to the Saints? And look, he leaves, and look at the Saints' defensive line now. Granted, it took a few years after he left, but that it takes a long time to get over a Bill Johnson.
Right. You have to recover from his shittiness.
And he's now destroying LSU. Why?
Hopefully it'll be a one-year thing. Maybe they'll get rid of him after this year.
But, well, why? What is the guy? I hope Dan Quinn gets fired from Atlanta because it's inevitable. And that they hire Bill Johnson. He deserves a chance to be a head coach in this league.
Shit.
We want Dan Quinn to stay. Dan Quinn stays and hires Bill Johnson as their D-line coach.
That's it. They're looking for a change.
As their coordinator.
No, that'll be Rob Ryan.
They do like the same sloppy seconds over there in Atlanta. All right. That's all I got for LSU. Y'all got any? Oh, one other point about Burrow. You saw Burrow last year, if you're an LSU fan, and you see what he's doing this year, proving that he can be taught. When you think about Burrow going into the NFL, I don't think he's a risky draft pick for whoever takes him, because that this talent will translate well because he can be taught. He can grow. He can evolve. He can learn. He can get better. Whereas, you have some of these quarterbacks in college, they're great, but when they get to the NFL, nothing changes about their game, and the NFL is too fast or too smart for them.
Well, it's not necessarily
showing that he's a smart guy.
Hold on. He is, but it's not that he can be taught. I mean, he ran this type of offense in high school and did well. I think the thing with Burrow, he has the it factor. He doesn't settle for mediocrity. That's kind of like Breeze's thing. He's so fucking obsessive about getting better and getting better, and that's what makes Breeze so good. I think Burrow has similar attributes like that, because even after the game this week, he's like, I'm not like being good isn't enough.
Yeah.
And
because we're not going to get him. We're not going to pick him up.
The problem is he's playing so well. He's going to move up so high. Like, he's going to go to fucking Tampa. And we're going to have to watch him against the Saints twice a year.
There's no way we're going to get him. We're going to have the 32nd pick.
I know.
True.
Unless we trade up.
He's running the Saints offense with Brady being there. He has that right level of, we need stuff. We got stuff to work on. We need to get better. And then he also has that cocky side where he's waving.
He's got that
Baker
Mayfield in him.
Yeah, he's got the good balance of both. He's not too far Drew Brees, and he's not too far Baker Mayfield. He is right in the middle.
Yep. Yeah, he's definitely cockier than Drew Brees would be.
And
that's what I would say. Okay, go hypothetical situation. If you are Mickey Loomis in the draft, even let's say Saints win the Super Bowl, you have 30-second pick. And you got the Drew Brees retirement pending, looming. Do you sell the farm to move up and grab him? I mean, that could be a 20-year decision. I would give up everything I had, every asset I had to get Joe Burrow. I would sell the franchise.
You would pull a Ditka?
I would pull a Ditka. Dress him up in a bridal gown. Bring him to Hawaii.
I wouldn't go that far, but. I would trade next year's first to move up for him for sure.
I would trade a lot for him. So the price we agree we'd trade is just how much.
Would you trade a pack of Billy's Boudin for him?
Shit, yeah, I would.
I don't know. That's pretty good.
To throw another New Orleans thing in there, Saints, LSU, Tulane. 16-2.
That's fucking incredible. Like, what Tulane's doing too? Like, Tulane's 5-1. They're ranked 26. They should be in the top 25. But if they win this week at Memphis, then they'll be in the top 25.
That's insane.
I mean, it really is a great time to be a Southern sports
fan.
That's
Tulane. And with the victory over Florida and Jacksonville, so we all know how Louisiana owns Texas because of
Florida.
All the victories. Well, we now own Florida too. So who's next? What state's next? Illinois, I guess. All right, let's move along into our new segment. And while you do this, I'm going to run and make a drink. But this one is called Pelican Perch.
Well, I know. Well, I'm also drinking. I'm not gonna go caw caw caw. Pelican doesn't sound like that.
I don't know what a pelican actually sounds like.
Yeah, it's a weird bad sound. Is it? It's not great. Kind of... You sure about that?
Nope. Thank you.
They really shouldn't be the pelicans. You know, Tom Benson has had that pelican, like, when the Zephyrs came over, he if y'all remember, he purchased a minor league baseball team. I think it was like a double-A team and was trying to bring them over. But the Zephyrs went out because they were a triple-A team. He wanted to name them the Pelicans.
Because of the baseball team from back in the day.
Because of the baseball team from back in the day.
He's old school. He's old, you know, it's old Pelican State. I mean, it's, yeah, I get it.
I like the Pelicans as a mascot. I know people were kind of like, what the fuck is that? But I like the Pelicans being the team name and the team mascot. Yeah.
I think they should have gone Spirit. New Orleans Spirit.
That's terrible. That sounds like a WNBA great. Team. That's
Dude,
great.
You
Come
got,
on.
You got the here.
Spirit?
The
that's terrible.
The spirits. The spirits.
That's terrible. That's still terrible.
And New Orleans haunted kind of thing, and then you actually have the spirits that people drink.
It's like the fucking Orlando Magic. That's a terrible name.
All right, whatever.
So
Pelicans or Royal Pelicans.
Well, you know what isn't shitty is fucking Zion. I mean,
he's amazing.
It's crazy how the expectations sit upon him. We're like, yeah, he's the best prospect since LeBron. I'm like, yeah, look, I didn't watch a ton of him at Duke. I just know he got a lot of hype. Saw a couple of good dunks, but watching him play, first of all, a guy at 285, and in the game against Utah, I mean, he went up against Rudy Gobert, who is the best defensive center in the entire NBA. Just went right at him, and goes at him, even contorts his body. One thing is that all of his shots, you know, he gets in, he changes, his shots all go in. And then two, the quickness that he has, like when he gets the ball out in the wing and he just blows right by his defender. I'm like, how does a 280 pound guy do that? And, you know, he's only 19 years old. He's been so, you know, he's scored, you know, 20 something points each game, but it's the efficiency. Like he goes like 10 for 13 or 12 for whatever. He's like Joe Burrow passing. He shoots like 75%. Just the things that he's done, and yeah, you could say it's preseason, but he's going up against NBA bodies right now.
Right.
And to do what he's doing is just to watch him is even more incredible than I anticipated at this point.
I honestly haven't seen any of the preseason games yet. I've seen highlights of him and of the team, but just in the highlights I've seen, I mean, he's doing things I've never seen anybody do before with his size. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's amazing.
That's right. A 280-pound guy shouldn't be able to do that.
And all of them. I mean, Lonzo's shooting the ball well right now. He kind of changes his shot, the way he shoots the ball. It looks a lot smoother. Before, I don't know what the hell he was doing. It looked just off. But
I mean, they're 4-0. They've gotten, you know, they've been behind at almost every game, but they've right. come back in the second half. Alexander Walker, the third of the draft picks, He looks legit. He looks like the steal of the fucking draft. He might be the second best player in the whole draft.
Absolutely. He's amazing.
He's got this confidence about him. He can, you know, he leads the team. You know, he's not scared to shoot, and he's been shooting pretty well. And just, you know, he can move the ball. He gets his team involved, and the guy just produces. It's kind of wild. So he's, I think initially, I don't know how many minutes they were planning to give him because there are a lot of guards on the team. But I think he's kind of forced his way into getting minutes, and he needs to get minutes.
Yeah, and with him and Zion on the court, I saw some stat, I don't remember exactly what it was, but with them two on the court together, they're like putting up ridiculous amount of points. you know, definitely, I think barring injury should be playoff team for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know how far they'll go. You know, we'll have to wait and see how the season progresses. But
I think it's just
so far.
Yeah, I think as the season goes along, there's going to be games where they surprise and beat like a really, really good team. And then there's going to be games where they lose to a team they shouldn't. Because I think the first month or two of the season, there's going to be ups and downs. But at some point, I do think it's just going to click. And at that point, they're going to go on a run. You know, it may not be until January or February, but at some point, They're going to gel and it's going to click and they're going to be dangerous. I mean, they have enough talent. If they're on a certain night, I think they can beat anybody. So it's hard. It's like I want to temper my expectations because of how young they are, because of how many pieces we've just thrown together. But watching what they've done and the Zion excitement, it's hard for me to say they're not going to make the playoffs right now.
Right. And so, y'all saw AD's already hurt, so that's kind of...
Yeah, I was hoping it was he would have been out a month, but it looks like it's not going to be that bad. But yeah, sprained thumb already. So get ready, Laker fans. That's what you're getting. But the first regular season game is at Toronto a week from Wednesday, and then the first home game is next Friday.
Nice.
So season's here already.
All right.
So you good?
Yeah.
You got the perch?
Yeah.
All right. If you can think of a better name than Pelican Perch for the segment, go ahead and submit it, everybody. Tweet it to us. We are looking for a new name because we are no longer the Pelican Plunge. That's just a terrible name. No one, what idiot came up with that one?
Right? Who are the ad wizards who came up with that one?
It could be good. They're plunged down into the water.
That was the original thought, but it didn't work. So with Anthony Davis gone, new Zion. Pelican Zion.
Yeah. We just call it the Zion segment of the
week.
Zion.
Right. It's what it's going to be, a highlight reel, right? Okay. Right. Let's move into looking at him tweets. All right, we got a couple of tweets this week. We're going to be trying to be quick and try and catch up on time. We're running a little longer than planned, but that's okay sometimes. So this one comes from Ron Higgins. First time tweeter, I think, but crazy LSU stat of the night. Florida ran 36 more plays than LSU. Held the ball almost 17 more minutes and lost by 14.
You don't need
not really a question.
When you score in like a minute, you know. Time possession, really.
That is the crazy thing.
Are you used to scoring in a minute?
Yeah. I think all guys know seconds. About that one. Am I right?
All right. This one, not tweeted to us, but at least bring it up because of the whole LSU stuff. LSU finished the game with an average of 10.6 yards per play. Jason, you brought that. It is the most ever in a game against a ranked opponent.
Not to mention a top 10 opponent.
It is the most ever in a game against an SEC opponent. It is the third most ever in a game overall.
Nice.
What do you think of that?
I think another thing we forgot to mention, that how awesome was it to have John Goodman be the guest picker on game day? That was awesome.
He went 11-1.
Strong. We should get him on Pick'ems. He would destroy us all.
And he's awesome on Righteous Gemstones. Shameless plug for that show.
Yes. No, the finale was less. It was awesome.
Don't say anything.
I haven't watched it. I haven't watched it yet.
It was a really great first season.
It's Danny McBride, though. Like, you know, it's Danny McBride's such a funny guy.
He's hilarious.
All right. Aaron King. Ugly win, but I'll take it. Now, we're talking about the Saints, obviously. However, we need...
This is a Saints podcast, right? We should...
However, we need to be ready for next week because it ain't going to be easy in the Windy City. Terry B. holds the ball too long, and he takes easy sacks. I mean, he did a couple times. I wouldn't say that he takes them all the time. He's going to be under pressure. Let's hope Sean has a game plan.
We do have the best coach in the league. I mean, he's going to have a game plan for it.
Yes.
And again, just to laugh at Chicago, they traded up to draft Trubisky when Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes were right there. Good job, Ryan Pace. That's why I fired you.
That's why we let you go.
That's right.
That's a little getting in. It's a little bit into the Bears preview stuff, but
yeah,
I think game, if you are talking about it, he brings up game plan. I think the interesting point of this is that the game plan is going to have to be about passing, because I think the Bears are better against the run than they are the pass.
I know you're clearly guessing, which is fine. Look, I don't know either.
What I'm saying is, like, they're actually good, effective against both. It's just they're better
slightly
one than the other. They don't let up 100-yard rushing games.
The good thing is their offense.
They let up. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so it'll be – okay, so Nick – not Nick Underhill, but Nick – at Nick Uhill.
Sneaky.
Copycat account. On the first sack, Austin Carr was open over the middle, and literally no one was covering Jared Cook. He also had Ted Ginn open by the end. So this goes back into, is he seeing things? Why? What's the deal with Teddy not seeing open guys? And I remember there was a different play, not that one, but there was another play where he forced the ball to somebody else where, like, I don't know who it was, but another receiver was wide open with not a nary a defender within 3 yards. A little on his blind side, maybe, but still, you didn't scan the field. You didn't read your – I don't know. He's not seeing the field.
He did – at least this week, he did not. No, he definitely did not do that this week. He struggled with that.
Could it be the Jags had a good way of concealing what they were going to do, and he misread?
I mean, pre-play? if you can't see somebody open – I mean, yeah, pre-play, but, I mean, if somebody's wide open, that's not, you know
– Does he need fucking glasses?
Yes, maybe he does. It's
maybe he does. Thing. Maybe exactly. Maybe that's why he's throwing so high. I don't know.
Oh my God, that's it. He forgot his contacts.
He needs LASIK.
You know, there was a part of me conspiracy. Scott, you'll love this. It was there was a point where you know you see him on the sideline between you know when the all defense is on the field and he's studying the pictures or the film or whatever, and I was starting to think like maybe. He didn't see him open there, but as he goes back and he's looking, he's like, oh, my gosh, look at how many receivers are wide open. So when he gets back on the field, he's like, waiting for y'all to get wide open, and he's holding the ball too long. And he's like, I know they're open, but I don't see it.
But the question is –
just misses him.
Right.
The question is, even if he threw it to him, would he have overthrown it? Would he have staled it?
60% of the time, he overthrows it all the time.
Right. I mean, that one that he missed Michael Thomas on for the touchdown –
I mean, he overthrew him, but then Carr. Like if he overthrew it just a little more, then Carr would have caught it.
I know. That's like who's he throwing to?
Right.
And if you go back and look at that play, which Drew Brees, I saw that, today,
with Drew Brees, that's a touchdown, by the way.
What they did on that play, you know, when they get to the goal line, they throw that quick pass to Michael Thomas right there, where he slants in, and they throw hit him real quick.
Yeah.
On that play, if you watch it, Michael Thomas slanted in. It was a fake because they know that they've been watching film on it, so he slanted in. And then stopped and broke out. That's why he was so open.
Yeah, the defender's been on it.
So Teddy ruined the most perfectly designed play that Sean Payton set.
Yeah, it was designed perfectly with Breeze at the helm. That's a touchdown. Yep,
absolutely.
And that's the thing. Like with Breeze at the helm, like that's not even a close game. We win handily.
With Joe Burrow at the helm, we would have.
You know what? I'm not chanting his name this week. All right. Mordecai says, what are your feelings as to what happens to Taysom Hill after this season? Do you think the Saints will re-sign him? He's set to be a restricted free agent this season, this offseason?
We're definitely going to offer him, you know, we'll see. Once Breeze comes back, you're going to see him a lot more. I mean, he only had a couple plays. He did have a good run late in the game when we needed him this week.
If he's smart, he stays. And the reason why I say that is, if he's on any other team, would anybody know who he was? If Sean Payton hadn't designed all this stuff for him, would anybody know who he was?
Right. And no coach is going to be able to use him like
exactly.
Sean Payton.
Exactly.
I think as long as he's ready to admit that he will not be an NFL quarterback and he's just going to be a jack of all trades.
He's an athlete. He's an athlete.
Yeah.
Straight up. He's an athlete.
As long as he accepts that, I think – But, like, what's a guy like that worth, you know? Like, some other team
but
may
would
say,
you,
oh, you
all right,
do
all right, all right. Would you – all right, what are you going to make if you stay with the Saints? What are you going to make? Ballpark?
I mean, I would pay him, I don't know, $3-4 million a year.
All right. What would you make if the Jets or the Giants or Miami offers you to be their starting quarterback?
They won't.
They're not going to.
What would they offer you?
First of all, the Jets have Sam Darnold, so they're not.
Okay,
they're not.
Okay.
And the Giants have Daniel Jones.
And Miami's going to have a top draft pick, so
they're
going to
have
Tua or Burrow.
All right, Washington.
You want to go to the shittiest owner in the league?
The problem is Washington's stupid. They might offer
him. How much money would
they buy? If he was like, theoretically, if he was offered the starting job for a team, it would be $10 to $15 million, but nobody's going to offer him that.
Nobody's
but still, why wouldn't he go and take $10 million? Somewhere
he's not going to get that somewhere else. Nobody is going to offer him their quarterback job.
There's
the question is
people out there.
The question is what happens when Teddy leaves after this year?
Then you're going to have him as a backup. I mean, you're already paying Teddy $7 million. You can pay Taysom $5 or $6 and just be the backup. Yep. And then you draft a guy.
So you say you're saying Drew Brees plays again,
comes back.
I'd say another 2 to 3 years.
Really?
You know why? Because he lost.
Because the hand is now reinforced. It's titanium reinforced.
He's got the Cyberdyne hand now.
The dude is
he
a freak.
More I mean, than just work on his hand.
But also, you know, Tom Brady passed him in touchdowns because he missed. He's going to end up missing five games.
He's gonna play until Brady leaves. Once all Brady right. goes, then I can see him leaving. The dude's 40 years old. He's a freak of nature. I mean, I'm 41. If I get a cut on my arm, it's there for like 3 months.
Scott's out of work for a week.
I mean, seriously, it's ridiculous how much after you turn 40, how long it takes for you to recover from things.
That's why and I didn't think he was coming back. And now you said there was a video of him throwing football. NFL? No. He said he was throwing
football. He said,
NFL.
Right. There wasn't a video said, because the internet no. would have exploded.
Yeah, he did an interview with Cox Sports after the game. And kind of broke the news that he started throwing the NFL football last week.
Now, we
interesting
still not...
that he said it on the same day that the announcers made comments about the fact that he hasn't.
We still should not bring him back until after the bye.
I agree.
I know it's very tempting to bring him back. I don't know he's going to want to come back.
Especially now that you've got one game above the 500 that you asked for with right. Teddy.
Yeah.
All right. Christian Mino says Jared Cook and Latavius Murray really stepped it up this week. On top of that, we're still on top of the NFC South with a little help from the Pope.
The Pope.
And the Falcons lost again.
Well, that was something too that you know we mentioned it last week. They're actually getting Cook involved, which is good. This is the second straight game that Cook has caught a touchdown. And like we said, we need this guy to do things. And that's good to get him and Murray. We need to get both those guys involved in the offense.
Maybe it's no coincidence that they're using Cook and Michael Thomas more because of their height. They're tall. And the way Teddy throws.
On a tight end note, old man Ben Watson signed back with the Patriots today.
Yeah, just so he could retire, I'm sure.
I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Big Easy Guy, John. The offensive line played a pretty clean game. The defense played lights out. Does the offense output concern you, or is this just who we are under Teddy Bridgewater?
Who we are. Well, it's going to depend, too, on the defense we play. So, it's kind of getting into game preview. But next week I expect a very similar game to Jacksonville this week. Then we play Arizona. I think he'll play more like he did against Tampa. It's just going to be based on what is there in front of him to give him. Sean's going to do game plans where he can take advantage of the matchups and take advantage of – he knows what Teddy can do. He sees him every day in practice.
Sean's earning his paycheck this year.
Oh, absolutely. He should be coach of the year. I don't care what anybody says. But, you know, he's developing game plans that focus on defense's weakness and Teddy's strengths.
Whereas with Breeze, you have a certain level of immunity to whatever the other defense
right. he can
has
do
done against
things.
Anybody else. Yeah.
Right, he can pinpoint the ball in certain locations where he's just,
So in a way, your play calling is limited.
Yeah, based
relative
on
to,
your defense.
But still,
right.
Normal is what it is. It's normal. You're back to like an average normal.
Right. This is what normal franchise, outside of having the top five or six quarterbacks, this is what a normal NFL franchise goes through. Like, you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs. It's not like you have Breeze, who in addition
it's
to
so
being –
It's so funny how we've changed, because this is what we were like for 40 years as Saints fans, 30-some-odd years as Saints
or
fans. Or even actually worse.
Worse.
Yeah.
We were definitely
Aaron
worse.
Brooks, and there was no hope whatsoever, at least, yeah. So in a way, it kind of reignites a different type of passion each week, where you don't take it for granted. So you celebrate the win a little bit more. You cherish it a little bit more. You buy a wedding ring that's black and gold to wear on Mondays.
See, what I think's happening is we're all getting sucked in. We're all getting sucked in. Roger's sucking us in. He's saying, "Oh, look, Teddy, he's 4-0. Just wait till Breeze comes back. How good it's gonna be!" And then we get
flag, no flag.
Rodgers just playing y'all like a fiddle.
That's true. All right.
So we were out. He gets us back
script,
in.
Are you saying it's the script of the year? It's like we gotta.
He's gonna win the Emmy. Outstanding drama series.
All right, and the last tweet, Jay Carroll says, we need Cam Newton to get healthy and get back on that field.
And apparently he will be practicing after the bye, so that's good. We need him back as soon as possible.
Yes. Baby, come back. All right, that's it for the tweets. Let's move into Pick'ems.
Stand up and shine!
went 4-1.
Wow.
Yeah, what a bounce back. And Jason, you went 3-2. The only game I missed was Washington, Miami. I took Washington. I mean, they won, but they only won by one. And Jason, you took Tampa and Philly, where Carolina did what they did.
Wolves, I think, could take a Tampa. Winston, 5 picks. Our friend Ben from the UK Saints podcast got to see it, the shit in person. Sorry, yep. Ben.
And then
it's kind of funny how many shit. I feel like all the games in England that we send over there are shit.
Well, I think they mentioned on their podcast last week that they're like certain teams, like there's no way, like for example, the Saints aren't going to give up a home game, or you know, your good teams aren't going to give up a home game to go.
I mean, we
bring up that part of the deal of New Orleans getting the Super Bowl back in the one that we had that sent us to London in 07, I think it was, they said, that first London game.
08, we played 08, the Chargers.
Yeah, was that us playing in London was part of the deal in order for New Orleans to host
the Super Bowl.
And so we do have the Super Bowl coming up in a few years, so it is a question of whether or not we'll be in London in the next couple of weeks, because the UK guys on their podcast were saying something about part of earning a Super Bowl. They didn't say this part. I'll insert this, I think, is outside of building a new stadium,
right? Yeah,
you've got to go play in London. It's one or the other. So, yeah, that was pretty interesting. So, okay, in the larger league, Jason and Scott,
yes.
I guess I'll read the standings for the larger league. So last, it's interesting, and it's not on purpose, but it's nice coincidence. Last week we had Who Dat Fitz as a guest on the show because he won Pick'ems last year and another year before. But this week we have Scott on the show, and Scott is leading Pick'ems. So it's almost like, hey, you do good in Pick'ems, you might find yourself on the show, which means Neil may never be on the show. But Scott is leading. Scott is leading with a 14-11 record, tied with Mordecai
and Sam Thompson. No idea how that happened, by the way.
And then we have Christian Mino, Davis Douglas, Desi, Tom Ensign, Pastronaut, the Mailman, Jake, that's one of my sons, Triple D Kennels, Trevor Scott Bruno, Aaron St. John, DJ Z, Me So Mad. It's about the three syllables in the names, I think. Mm-hmm. Ryan Angier, Wheels, Jason, finally, with 440 record at 11-14. Big Easy Mafia, UK. That's Ash from the UK Saints podcast. Chris McGuire, Drew, my other son, James from the UK podcast. Oh, Who Dat Be? Emmanuel, CJG. Finally, me, leading out the bottom feeders at a 360 with a 9-16 record. Who Dat Fitz? Your reigning champion is under me. King Nola.
Is under you?
Yeah, I didn't like the way that came out.
Neither did he.
Neil, Big Easy Gaijon, and then Jason Good. So, Neil, you're not in last place.
Woohoo!
And Neil actually had a good week this week, I think. Let me check his record. And I actually gave Neil, he was a little late, like mid game one, because it was the early game, you know, so he was, but I gave it to him anyway because he's no threat, and so he actually had a 4-1 week as well.
Jeff, what's my record
total? 11-14.
11-14. Okay, all right, getting into this week's slate of games. I was hoping to have another London game, but apparently they're taking the week off because last week's game was so bad. We got
they canceled them.
Yeah. So our first game is a pretty interesting matchup of the AFC South. The Houston Texans coming off a strong win in Kansas City. That's now two straight losses for Kansas City in Kansas City. Houston starting to bring it on a little bit. Deshaun Watson making an early case for MVP. They travel to Indianapolis to play the Colts, who are coming off a bye this week. And the Colts are favored by one.
The Colts by one, eh?
Colts by one at home after the bye.
All right, I'll go first on this one. I'm going to take Houston because I think Houston's starting to kind of get into a rhythm here. Deshaun Watson's playing pretty well. And Indy's good and all. Don't get me wrong. I respect what they're doing without Andrew Luck, but they're not Houston good. And this is a division game, division rivalry too, so it's going to be a close one.
It is. You know what? I'm going to take Indy. I think Houston this is a letdown game for Houston.
Okay.
Coming off that big win last week.
Okay.
I'm going with the Texans on this one. Just right. Because.
All right, our next game.
Geographically, they're closer.
This next game is probably the best game of the week. The 4-2 Ravens, coming off a nice win this past week, traveled to Seattle to play a 5-1 Seahawks team. Their only loss was to us. That's kind of crazy that Teddy went on the road and beat Seattle in Seattle. Russell Wilson having a hell of a season so far. He's had a hell of a season on one of my fantasy teams, which is great.
Yep.
So again, it's in Seattle. Seahawks favored.
Nobody gives a fuck about your fantasy team.
You're right. You're right. But I do. And this is my segment. The Seahawks favored by Seahawks favored by 3.5 at home.
-3.5, huh?
I'll go first. Give me the Ravens.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I like what Lamar Jackson's doing. And I just think Seattle, yes, they're 5-1, but there's a couple of games where they really should have lost. I mean, they were down to Cleveland. They had the benefit of going against Cleveland. The fact that Cleveland doesn't have a head coach.
Do you think the 12th man's no longer a factor? Or
no, I think it's still a factor. I will say some of this is thinking with my heart because I want Seattle to lose to help the Saints playoff position. But look, to me, Baltimore is a really, really good team.
Yeah, but they're not winning big, are they? I mean, they're not manhandling their opponents. And 4 points is a lot to.
They're getting four, though.
They're getting four.
They're getting four. They're getting 3.5, but yeah.
3.5.
But still, yeah, but yeah. So, right. So, if it's a field goal game, they cover the spread.
So, at the same time, Seattle isn't really manhandling opponents either. So, this could be a tight game. Therefore, I will take Baltimore as well for the cover.
Typically, I do not take East Coast teams traveling to the West Coast, but I think I'm taking the Ravens. I think this is going to be – I think they're going to run a lot with Ingram and Jackson. And go ahead.
Ingram had a touchdown yesterday. Was it one or two?
Yeah. No, he had one. But Lamar Jackson rushed for 150-something yards yesterday.
Yeah, he's killing it. So, yeah, I'm going with the Ravens. So, Baltimore three-way.
We are clearly all thinking with our hearts in that game this
right?
week.
Right? We've convinced ourselves that Seattle at 5-1 is not going to have an electric night or day,
right.
Whatever. What time is the game? Noon?
I don't know. It's like, shit, I should change it to Seattle. I should change my pick to Seattle.
I kind of took Baltimore with hesitation.
That's all right. All right, our next game. An NFC East clash where the losers might be in bad shape here. The Philadelphia Eagles. Coming off a loss to Minnesota last week,
sure
Stephon Diggs went nuts. 3 touchdowns for
Stephon
Diggs.
So Kirk Cousins has finally beat a team with a winning record?
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. And I got burned because of it.
Yeah, there's that made up.
As did I.
Fucking fight. Yeah, fucking
you fell for it, Scott? Is that why you picked
him? Well, no. I don't know. Yeah, I think that is why I picked him.
So the Eagles, and this is going to be our Sunday night game because, of course, this other team gets a primetime game, travels to Dallas to play a Cowboys team that has lost 3 in a row. They have come unhinged since losing to the Saints in the Dome.
Since parading down the street.
Since Jerry Jones was wandering drunk on Bourbon Street that night. They've had some injuries on the offensive line. They've lost a couple of defensive players. This game's in Dallas. Cowboys favored by 3.
They're favored by 3.
Favored by 3. I mean, Philly's sitting there 3-3. Hadn't played great.
How is Jason Garrett still coaching in Dallas? 10 years. Jerry Jones has had such a short patience with coaches
because Jerry Jones can control him.
So, would you want to control somebody with and live in mediocrity?
But this guy craves power. The fact that he's got the power over his coach and his organization, that's what he thrives on. Look, that's why he fired fucking Jimmy Johnson, who won 2 fucking Super Bowls. Like, that's just stupid. You know, that's stupid. That's Jerry Jones.
I'm going to Eagles. Eagles.
Okay. Do the Eagles have any injuries?
That
we don't know about.
Jackson.
Yeah, he's dinged up, but their secondary is shit. Their secondary is really bad. But I believe Amari Cooper hurt his quad yesterday, and supposedly he was in a lot of pain, so he might be out.
Amari Cooper.
So I'm going to go ahead and take the Eagles as well.
All right. Just to create some separation, I'm going to take Dallas because I just don't see them. If I'm wrong, it'll be great. But if they lose this game, then they're tanked. They're done.
They're tanked. They're tanked, all right. All right, our next game, I struggled to find a fourth game, so I figured I'd throw these a couple of laughing stocks in here. The Los Angeles Rams, losers of three straight after everybody was ready to crown them after that 3-0 start.
They've lost as many games as points that they scored in the Super Bowl.
Their $130 million quarterback has been awful. He threw for 72 yards this last week.
Because he can't hear. Sean McVay can't tell him what to think.
Exactly. So the Rams, they travel to Atlanta to play Falcons.
Oh, is this shitty game number one?
This is shitty game number one. To play a Falcons team that is gonna play in front of probably about 15,000 fans.
That's awesome.
They are 1-5. They found a way to Falcon the loss this week. They were down all game to a bad Arizona team. Came back to score a touchdown with 2 minutes left, only for 57-year-old Matt Bryant to miss the extra point. He's probably 43. Okay. But in football years, he's 57.
Right.
They found a way to Falcon.
They Falconed the Falcon.
He missed the extra point, and they lost by a point to Arizona, who sucks.
Y'all, this is this organization.
It's great. I love it. It's great.
It's so great.
But they are so – if you ever, like, follow their Twitter account, or they are more concerned and obsessed with, like, marketing strategies and hashtags and slogans and gimmicks than they are playing football. And this is the result, and I love it. And what's the spread?
The Falcons are getting 3
yeah,
points at home.
Yeah, they are. And I will take the Rams. I'm not thinking with my heart at all.
Rams.
A three-way on the L.A. freeway.
Wow. I mean, the Rams genuinely will win this game.
I mean, Atlanta's defense is so bad, even Jared Goff will look good this week. Yeah. That's the thing.
Right.
So, all right, and now for our shitty game of the week, number two. Ha-ha.
Here we go. Piece of shit car. I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
We have the Arizona Cardinals, who actually come off a win against Atlanta last week. They're surprisingly, I thought their record was worse than it actually is. They're 2-3-1.
So you thought they were 1-4-1 or something?
I just thought they had the one win. I forgot they had that stupid tie in week one with Detroit. Yeah. So they travel to New York to play the Giants, who are coming off a loss against the Patriots on Thursday. Played well for a half and then just kind of fell apart.
Got in them.
You know, they're dealing with a lot of injuries. Saquon Barkley still out. Evan Ingram missed the last game. And somehow the Giants are at home. They're favored by 3.
Really?
The Giants are...
That's tough. That makes this tough.
No, it's easy for me. I'm going to take the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning. But you say, Barkley's not playing?
Well, I mean, he didn't play last week. They said he's coming along. I guess there's a chance he could play, but it's unknown at this point.
I'm going Giants.
They do have an extra couple of days to prepare after playing on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm taking Arizona. And you know where I'm getting this from? Point differential. Good old point differential.
Classic Jeff.
I got to do one, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. So that's your pick-ems. Don't forget, everybody, tweet them to us before the first game starts at noon Central Time on Sunday. When I like it, I've recorded it. If I didn't like it, I didn't record it. But that doesn't mean I can't fix it as long as your timestamp is where it needs to be. Let's move on to...
Just like his bedroom life.
I don't get that. But
time.
Oh, I'm talking about the whole thing. If he didn't record it, well, it still happened.
It still happened. All right, let's move into Saints preview.
Kicking toward the north end zone at Soldier Field. 3 for 3 on the day. 10 seconds to go. Parkey lines it up. O'Donnell on one knee. Gives him a look. Extends his right arm. Scales sends it back. Placement made. Kick fight from 43. And it hit the upright. It is no good on the crossbar. And the Eagles are celebrating here at Soldier Field.
Saints head up to the Windy City to play against the Chicago Bears. Is that why you're wearing a Cubs shirt today, Jason?
No, it's because I packed a lot of my shirts and I only have like 3 shirts that I can kind of rotate. So this just happened to be the closest. All
right. So we had a lot of teases throughout the show about this preview for this game. So it's no secret that the Bears. So I mentioned earlier that the Bears or the Saints statistically within the season are in that 13 to 16 range. The Bears, however, are in that 3 to 4 range across the board on all those important stats, rush yards, receiving yards, first downs, points allowed.
Their defense is very good.
But I'll add that the Bears have also only played 5 games.
They really haven't played anybody that good.
That's the other point.
I mean, probably Green Bay is probably the best team they played. I mean, they played Green
Bay. That was the first game of the year.
Have they played Minnesota yet?
No. They played Green Bay, Denver, the Raiders, and the Redskins.
And they lost to the Raiders.
Oof. And they played Green Bay, and Green Bay was shitty that game.
That was the first
game of the year.
Yeah.
Green Bay played like garbage.
And one thing about the Bears, I mean, they do have Khalil Mack, who's great, but I know Akeem Hicks missed last week. I don't know that that he's going to play this week either, which is a big loss for them.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing. And then Trubisky, I think, is practicing, but they don't know if he's going to play or not.
I hope he does. I mean, either way, it's Trubisky or Chase Daniel, which they're both bad, but I'd rather play against Trubisky than play against Chase Daniel.
And I looked at their stats. They haven't had a game where one of the running backs has had 100 yards. I think the most was like
year.
60, 72, maybe 70, 65, okay. Something like that.
I mean, they've been splitting a lot of carries. Tariq Cohen catches a lot of passes.
They're averaging 80 yards rushing per game. Yeah, they're averaging 104.
They throw it to Cohen out of the backfield. Montgomery's their main running back.
Yeah,
I think
Allen
Robinson's their main wide receiver.
Yeah, Allen Robinson's had a pretty decent, you know, at least with Chase Daniel at the helm. Robinson's had a couple of good games.
But Lattimore will be on him, so
yeah,
you know,
I just
how that's been going.
I mean, this really could be like a 6-3 game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a very specific score prediction
I agree. We might be on the same wavelength here because I think the Bears offense is going to be easy to shut down. And the Saints defense is, even though statistically they're in the middle, what we see is they do what they need to do in a certain game. And what they're going to need to do in this game is pitch a shutout or at least one field goal. And the Saints offense, meanwhile, is going to struggle. But there's always going to be a point where they're going to at least get into field goal range. They're going to, you know what I mean? They're going to do something because the Bears defense isn't perfect.
You would think. I mean, I'm wondering if we call a nice game plan to go against – the aggressiveness of the Bears defense and to kind of try to neutralize Khalil Mack. Now I'm not sure which side Mack lines up on. Is he on the left or is he going to be on Ramczyk? If he's on Ramczyk, give me Ramczyk. As good as Mack is, Ramczyk has destroyed everyone else.
Touchdowns.
So
Teddy don't throw high.
So that will be something to watch. I don't know what side Mack usually lines up on. But if he has to go against Ramczyk, I like our chances.
I mean, the
biggest thing of the game would be Akeem Hicks not playing, because he makes such a big impact for their defense. I just think they're not the same without him.
And at the end of the day, all we need to do is score, I think, 7 to 10 points, and we win this game. I mean, we're not asking the offense to do much. I really do believe that if we execute, we can stop this Bears offense from producing points. So yeah. We're only asking the offense to do the bare minimum. And that's the only way you're going to win this game, is your offense has lay a complete egg. What?
You said that we have to do the bare minimum.
Are you saying
bare minimum? So simple, bare minimum.
That's
see, and then we won't get sued by Disney because I changed the word.
So go ahead, sue me all they want. They're not gonna sue me. I pay them every year.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. They've already gotten their payment. We paid for that right to that song.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, advantage Saints by this much. Now, if Drew Brees was in, oh my gosh, it's no contest. But if Teddy prepares and Teddy is decisive and Teddy doesn't put his dog on a podcast, then Teddy is going to is that little Jack's Brewery?
No, this is Stella.
Oh, that's right. Stella! I haven't seen Nikolai in a long time. Where's Nikolai?
He's down there. He's a little heavier, but he's down there.
He's down there below the camera.
That's right.
Jason likes kids and dogs.
It's not cheating if it's your dog.
He's playing Where's the Peanut Butter?
Uh-huh. Matt Ryan's favorite game with his animals.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Score predictions for the Saints and the Bears.
You want me to give my specific prediction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So the Saints will have the ball in the fourth quarter at the 2-minute warning. We'll be down.
Specific.
We'll be down 16-10. We'll drive down the field and score a touchdown. And we'll be up 17-16. The Bears will get the ball back with about 50 seconds left.
This is super specific.
This is very specific.
I want to
Bears will get the Bears will get the ball back with about 50 seconds left to try to drive down the field and kick a field goal to win the game. They'll get down a little bit, about 30 seconds left. Eli Apple will come up with a pick, and we'll win the game.
And finally hold on to it and or not have it reversed for holding or something.
And we will win 17-16.
All right. I'm going to go, which I've been teasing all along, I'm going to say 10-0 Saints. Shut out.
I'm going to go 13-3. They get one field goal. We get two. We get one touchdown from somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe if Trubisky
is a defensive touchdown.
Right? Yeah. Right.
Or Deontay Harris.
No, you know what? I think.
I changed mine to 17-0.
Oh, shit. I'm going to go ahead and say Latavius Murray gets his first Saints touchdown this week.
All right.
I think we're going to lean on him and not give Kamara as many touches.
How
should we
awesome.
Should we sit Kamara?
I don't know that I want to
maybe just limit him.
I don't want to sit him, but definitely don't give him, you know. Don't give him
as
many
plan
touches
as much
right,
yet.
Right.
Until you know how things until you need him.
I mean, if Trubisky plays and he throws three picks and our defense scores two touchdowns and we're up early, like yeah, fucking sit him.
Yeah.
Dude,
I think it'd be a very similar awesome game to Jacksonville.
How awesome would it be if our defense scores all the points in this game? You know, defense special teams and beats the Bears.
I'm up for a defense win in another game.
I'll take it.
Defense wins championships, I hear.
That's the word on the street. Yeah.
Ask Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
All right. Brent Dilfer.
Final thoughts. Scott, what you got?
I don't know. I don't have any.
Oh, that could be a segment. Scott, what you got?
There you go.
LSU segment.
Yeah. LSU plays Mississippi State this week. Go Tigers. And the Auburn game the week after is going to be a 2:30 game, apparently. So, yeah.
They said it, yeah.
So that should be a good game. If you know,
when's the Mississippi State game? Is it nighttime?
No, it's
2:30.
Okay.
So Auburn's 11 right now. If they win next week, they could bump up into top 10. LSU beats them, they will have three victories over top 10 teams this season.
Right. Tell me that moves you ahead of Alabama at that point.
I mean, it should.
It's gonna come down. It's gonna come. Yeah, it's gonna come down to Alabama, LSU. That game.
Sure, but just be nice.
Yeah, it would.
All right, Jason, final thoughts?
All right. I know I kind of mentioned it a little earlier, but it's so great to be a sports fan in South Louisiana right now with the Saints doing so well, LSU doing so well, Tulane doing so well, and all this excitement over the Pelicans. Like, I can't remember this many people being excited about the Pelicans when it's still football season. Like, usually it happens once football season's over in January and February, people can get around to paying attention to the Pelicans. But now that you draw 10,000 people to a practice, I mean, the preseason game the other night, there was more people than a bunch of regular season games last year. It's a different feeling this year for the Pels compared to before. Something's just different. There is an actual excitement by people here about the basketball team. So
that's called belief and confidence. That's what you're feeling.
It
Sportsman's Paradise, baby. Sportsman's Paradise.
And we got it everywhere. So and we're finally getting cold fronts. So now we can finally start to enjoy some of the weather.
It literally feels good to be in Louisiana.
Yeah.
For a day. Last week and now this week, it's actually that's 2 weeks in a row.
Well, it's different for y'all. Y'all are actually up there where y'all can feel some of the cold. It's hard.
We're getting down to 48 degrees at nighttime.
Lucky you.
Yeah. So, you got a fireplace in your new house?
I do. I'm not going to need it that often.
Is it gas?
It is gas. No, it's gas.
You met the gas guy today?
Yeah, he installed the meter today.
All right. Get yourself some fire. All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. I don't know why that ends the show.
I don't know. That's just weird.
We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can follow us on Twitter for daily conversation. You can like us on Facebook to watch live broadcasts. Subscribe on YouTube to watch or to listen as an alternative to your podcast app, which is we are pretty much on any podcast app that I think you can get your podcast on. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Minshew Mania donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities are Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be found off my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. When you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants, then maybe try a few. The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Now when you pick a pawpaw or a prickly pear, and you prick a raw paw, well, next time, beware. Don't pick the prickly pear by the paw. When you pick a pear, try to use the claw. But you don't need to use the claw when you pick a pear of the big pawpaw. Have I given you a clue? The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. We'll be right back.